Welcome to the Empowered Whistleblower Podcast. Are you one of many Americans who are tired of people being bullied and discriminated? You are not alone. Bullying has a rippling effect on the person who is being harassed and everyone associated with the bullied person. The targeted adult or child may have been physically or psychologically bullied. They often bring home their anguish with them, and this can have a crippling effect on everyone associated with the one who's being bullied or discriminated. It's time to shed some light on how to reduce bullying in the school systems, how to create safe and healthy work environments for employees. I blow the whistle on how to protect yourself if you're being bullied and educate listeners on their rights if they're being bullied or discriminated. I bring in the best experts who provide empowering strategies, tips on resiliency, how to handle the experience of being bullied or discriminated, how to heal and overcome the effects of being mistreated. If you are ready to gain knowledge and insights on bullying and discrimination, you are in the right place. Welcome to the Empowered Whistleblower Podcast. Hello and welcome to the Empowered Whistleblower Podcast. Today, I have a gentleman who works with teens. He has been living a meaningful life that makes a world a better place. He works with the teens to help them to do that. I help them, he says, to love and be happy and make a positive impact in the world. So boosting teen spirit and creating confidence are the best gifts that he has to offer. We are in the era where the last of the digital immigrants still roam the earth. And as one of the digital immigrants who sees the historical significance of making sure connection doesn't lose out to connectivity. That makes good sense. I invest my life, this is what Donovan says, in deeply serving the immediate future of humanity, which are teenagers. So after spending 5 years and thousands of dollars getting an aviation technology degree, I discovered that flying was not my dream. And his true calling is helping teens realize their dreams. We have his email. We'll give you the contact information at the very end where he offers a complimentary session to help your teen create a flight plan to destination dream. I love that, how you say that. So I'm bringing on Donovan Dreyer. Welcome, Donovan. How are you this morning?
Thank you, Don. I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on your show.
Well, you were highly recommended by a friend or a coworker or something another. But, you know, tell me, why did you become a coach?
Well, yeah, I've been a high school counselor for I'm going on my 18th year, 17th year, somewhere in there. It's getting so many I can't count. But I'm branching out into coaching now because I see that, sometimes it's just too late to wait till there's a crisis. And we need people in those crisis situations for the postvention after something bad happens, and in the crisis to try and mitigate it and turn it around, good crisis responders. But for me, I just see like a good 80% of the kids out there really need a greater level of support, just generally speaking. So for me, the game changer in life is my gift. To help those people in the middle, to help them before things reach a crisis and, combat some of these things that can lead to, if not a crisis, just like a mediocre life. Mm-hmm. I just couldn't settle myself, even though flying's a pretty amazing thing and being an airline captain sounded cool. It just wasn't right for me. And I think it's super powerful to help people find their exact right fit in life, like a puzzle piece clicking into place.
Absolutely. And so you've been a coach for how long?
I've been coaching teens specifically with my niche for about 3 years. And prior to that, I dabbled in pretty much trying to serve everybody. But I really realized that my gift after all these years with teenagers is in a highly demanding, tricky, confusing area. And so I really wanted to hone in and focus in on helping people out with the teenage challenges. Both teens themselves and all the people who serve teenagers, parents, educators, school counselors. I've developed some tools after all these years that really help with this super important part of life. I mean, these guys are the future of our humanity, like the immediate future. Teenagers are the immediate future of our human family.
Absolutely. And I'm amazed that you had spent all this time in aviation technology. I was in the Air Force 20 years. I'm now retired. So I know a little bit about aviation. So We were talking before the interview, and I was telling you about it's really important for people who want to hire a coach to make sure that they find the right coach. Do you mind talking about that?
Yeah, absolutely. There's no substitute for a connection. Like for me, I don't mind giving a complimentary session because I just want people to get a sense, a direct sense of who I am and what it's like to be in a coaching session with me. So for me, when I'm doing one of these complimentary sessions, I act like this person is already paying. I really serve them to the highest possible level because I really believe in the power of connection and that the only way somebody's going to get a great sense of me, everything I've learned, everything I've experienced in life, and everything that I am and what I have to offer is by getting into a session with me. So I would take advantage of these complimentary sessions and don't feel bad. Like if you're going to go into them and feel like, well, I don't know if I'm going to actually have the wherewithal to do coaching beyond this session. Just get into that session, find out if this person's right for you or not, and let the chips fall where they may. Really, that's my biggest message is you've got to actually provide this opportunity to have a direct experience with the people that you want to work with. Or on the other end, you got to take advantage of getting those complimentary sessions so you can see what that coach is all about, and see if they're a perfect fit for you. Again, like that puzzle piece. It's got to be a match both for the person getting coached and the coach.
Absolutely. I couldn't say it better myself because if you find the wrong coach and you start working with the wrong coach and they're not a good fit, it's going to be wasted time, wasted energy, wasted money. And I have to be straight up. That's happened to myself when I was not in a good place. I was trying to hire a business coach who tried to make me, and I'm a life coach myself, but I'm niched in workplace bullying, and they tried to make me a generalist coach. So, we have to have coaches that bond, and there has to be the trust between the people. So, tell me, what's a typical day for you, Donovan? What happens every day to you with your work?
Well, I've got a mix of things going on. So I may have a coaching client myself. So when I'm working with a coaching client, I will have at least an hour session that sometimes is done right around an hour and 15 minutes, sometimes extends to an hour and a half. Because again, if you're really getting in an opportunity where you've all put your calendars together, opening up enough space is really important. So that's part of my day. And then in the high school counseling, which I'm still doing as I work on branching out into the coaching, my day is filled with anything under the sun. We have probably 100 things planned that we do throughout the year. So we've got like a different project that we work on probably every 2 days on average as high school counselors that we have to deliver and get done. That could be helping kids register for their classes like we're doing right now. So we help them set up their future. We're making plans for the future with kids. And then really anything could walk in the door. A kid could be wondering what classes they should take this week and should I take honors or should I not take honors? So a kid, for instance, might walk in my door and say, "Hey, Mr. Dreyer, I'm, thinking about taking an honors class and I'm not wanting to make it too hard on myself." And, this was a real example. It was a girl wearing a softball shirt that just showed she's playing at the national level, like a travel league softball team. And I could see from her previous records, like she should totally be taking honors classes and challenging herself. So I asked her like on the spot. So, for me, this is all about comprehension. So speaking her language was really vital in that moment. So I said, "Well, let me ask you this. Would you want to play softball and have it be really, really easy? Like, for example, play up against a bunch of second graders." And she just laughed. And I said, "Well, I see your shirt. So let's take this, over to academics. You're going to be in a wrong fit classroom if you make it too easy for yourself. So what do you think?" And she said, "Well, when you put it that way, I think, the honors classes are probably going to be the best fit for me." And then we then figured out, well, how many would be enough and how many honors classes would be too many. So I'm really helping with these day-to-day decisions, these day-to-day emotional things that could come up. A kid might be just coming in tears because grandpa passed away. A kid might be coming in tears because they just are really full of stress and anxiety and frustration over how much is piling up in grades. So I'm working with everyday teenage stuff. on a daily basis. And I've been doing that for 17 plus years.
Mm-hmm.
And that's an example of a typical day. I could run into anything. I never know what's going to happen. But what I do know is I can expect the unexpected.
Absolutely. And you and your wife have teenagers. Do you find that you learn from your own teenagers about how to help other teenagers?
Well, I actually learned from my 0-year-olds all the way up. You know, I guess what I learned from teenagers is that you got to start preparing early. So, you know, being a dad who's, you know, there to play and roll around and just make that bond when they're 0 and 1 and 2 and 3 and 4 and 5 and 6, I realized these young ages were so vital. And you can never start too early. So as soon as Lily popped out, I was preparing her for the teenage years. And, you know, now that they're there, yeah, it's challenging. So being challenged as a dad is very, very different than being challenged as a life coach or as a high school counselor, because there's you know, there's buttons within us, and it's tough to become masterful enough to catch every single button that we have because we're human beings. So I see those challenges come up. You know, I've also hit a wall at times as a counselor and coach where you just kind of feel like you're fighting your own self-care, you're fighting burnout, you've got to recharge.
Absolutely.
So knowing when to just call a timeout and just not get into a heated battle is something that I'm pretty, you know, I'm probably exceptional at compared to most parents. But man, that's just something that every parent really needs to be able to do.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I learned so much from my kids even before they reached the teen years, way before.
I'm impressed because I've never heard of anybody getting a child, you know, a young child ready for being a teenager. I don't have children myself. Now, getting back into, you know, you being in the school system, do you have children that come to you or teenagers that come to you and say, Mr. Dreyer, I am being harassed or bullied, or well, they may not even understand what discrimination is, but do you get people that come in and that they bond with you and trust you and they look for help in that area?
Oh yeah. I mean, that's definitely something that happens every day at every school in the country. And, you know, that need is there. I think one of the biggest things that bothers me is that there's not enough of a initiative to get help, especially with boys. It's definitely a theme I've seen for 17 years is that when boys need help, they don't get it. Well, actually when they need professional type help, when they need the help from somebody like a counselor or a life coach, that's not sought, you know, in those times. They do seek out ways to cope on their own. They seek out ways to help get help from family and friends. But when it gets beyond those two levels, there's not enough of an initiative to go get the help that's needed. But I definitely see that like just about every single day that somebody's willing to, you know, go into a place where they know they've got confidentiality. They know they're going to have somebody who's going to be present, connect with them, deeply comprehend what's going on. Listen, you know, let them vent and be validated. And then, you know, put things in that make our school culture and climate better. That's definitely something we do very proactively to the best of our abilities at my schools.
Okay. So do you feel like these children need more confidence?
Yeah. We talked about that before we hopped on this opportunity to do this interview and teen confidence is definitely something that comes up. We've got some pretty amazing kids. They could be superstars in one level and have absolutely no confidence and have a lot of self-loathing and low self-esteem. Mm-hmm. And then on the far, far other end of the spectrum where kids, you know, would have that as well. But, you know, you think, oh, that makes sense. A kid has all F. I see something, you know, I see the spark for something that could be turned into an opportunity for that kid to build confidence, you know, that they're missing their genius zone. They're missing their talent. So I'm a talent scout for those kids that really feel absolutely frustrated and they got nothing going on. And I want to really, you know, take that spark and build it into a flame so that they have that sense of, hey, I'm a miracle and I've got something special to offer the world.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other end, you know, it's kind of confusing sometimes where you see somebody who maybe looks like on the surface they have it all. And they're still struggling for that confidence.
Yeah,
that's definitely something I see. And it's fleeting. You're not always going to be confident.
Of course.
Yeah, but I talked to one that was talking about you can't fake it till you make it. She felt like real confidence is different than this faking it till you make it idea.
So where does confidence come from, Donovan?
Yeah, it's like one of those nebulous things, self-esteem, confidence, and like we can't really do anything to make it happen. And I just don't think that's true. Like if we go back to the girl with the softball shirt on, the confidence came from continuing to have more fun by having games against other people who were also highly skilled. Mm-hmm. So there's a sense of like pride and accomplishment when you actually can perform at an extremely high level, and the confidence comes from that as a softball player. And then when you take that back to our academics, you know, the confidence wasn't going to be coming from getting all A pluses in easy classes. So its challenge is one piece of it. It comes from actually having the courage to face a challenge, and then voila, you get through that challenge, or maybe you don't, and maybe you fall down on your face and you are willing to reach out and get some help from a coach or a teacher, and somebody helps you conquer that challenge and you reach out for some teammate help. Whichever way, when you rise to the challenge and meet it, that's where that confidence can come from.
Okay.
And that matches together too. If you love something, you're more likely to get good at it. I like that softball example. So kids really should take a look at gaining that confidence. Like the ALF student could tap into something where they, you know, they don't have any self-belief anymore, but it comes from maybe tuning into something you really, really love. And then that's pretty natural to work hard at that. So if you do what you love, I think you work like crazy. The saying goes that if you do what you love, you'll never work a day in your life. I don't know. I think people develop mastery when they do what they love and commit to it. And then they work and work and work and work to really become masterful at something they're good at. So that's really one of the keys to confidence.
You said that well. So what prevents confidence?
Well, what prevents confidence is a lot of things. You know, I think judgment, criticism, you know, feeling like you're going to get rejected, fear of failure. You know, so I think people don't realize that that challenge is the very ticket to confidence.
Mm-hmm.
So the fear of failure, like this internal fear of failure, is huge. You know, kids do want to get all A pluses. Most of them do want to take easy classes so they get those A pluses. And they don't realize like that's preventing confidence to step back and, you know, play. Like if we did the example of softball playing against the second graders, they'd win, you know, 59-0. And that wouldn't really, that would be awkward. You know, that would lead to awkwardness, not confidence. So I think, you know, if we take the other side of the spectrum and look at making things too easy, you're not going to have that real confidence. So the self-worth, the self-esteem, the self-confidence is not nebulous. You definitely can tap into something you love, really work hard at it. And when you do, you have this sense of pride and accomplishment and confidence and self-esteem. You can't get that from somebody patting you on the back or giving you 1,000 compliments or, you know, getting A pluses in easy classes.
Yeah. So, you know, if a teenager came to you with low motivation, how did they get unstuck?
Well, we have to look at these things that are like anti-confidence, right? Are you doing things that are too easy? Let's look. Let's deeply comprehend. So there's the surface, I'm not confident and I want to get it, and what's preventing it. And then there's no substitute for actual comprehension.
Mm-hmm.
I can't even tell you. Like, it's hard to just guess at that. So to me, the key to solving anything is comprehension. So a student's going to have to tell me a little bit more. Tell me a little bit, you know, about what is the trigger for feeling not confident, or are there some things that we can see within their habits and patterns and grades and so on. So we have to actually look on an individual basis to see what are the roots.
Mm-hmm.
But like I said, if they're coming, it could be that they're backing down because they fear failure. They're backing down because they fear rejection, or they're backing down because they don't want to be judged. They don't want to stick their neck out and have somebody see them. So those are three of the biggies that I think that will be in the way internally. But individually, I as a coach or counselor, have to give them that chance to be heard, to be seen, to vent, to be validated. And then we have to actually put that all together to comprehend it. And then I'm creating spaces for them to have the insight. That's way more powerful, even though I got 17 years of experience. I want them to see their own key to confidence and speak in their language.
Yeah, I can see how that could be so important. So they get unstuck and go down the road and something happens again and they get stuck again. How do they get unstuck?
Well, yeah, if they keep getting stuck again and again and again, I think you've got to have them work on mindfulness, awareness. And, you know, there's a really good example of how Bob Bowman worked with Michael Phelps that I love to use. And, you know, people have these triggers or inflection points and they keep doing the same thing. And they get to that crossroads. It's almost like an automatic computer switch that makes them do something. That's the old pattern. So you got to help them start streaks. So kids have these Snapchat streaks that they love to keep going. Like it's the 187 and the next day they want to snap that person to get it to 188. So Snapchat streaks is kind of a fad that may stick around and may go away. But when you get streaks going, you're going to build something beyond motivation and inspiration, kind of having that first insight. You're going to turn it into momentum. Mm-hmm. So it's really this force of momentum that turns turns a habit into what's called automaticity. Automaticity kicks in when it's like brushing your teeth. Uh-huh. So really, developing momentum gets you beyond the initial insight, inspiration, and motivation. So this can be prevented by intentionally committing to, hey, when this happens, instead of doing this, I'm going to consciously keep my streak going. But the thing that feels awkward, thing that doesn't feel right yet, it's not really natural yet, but it's my good habit that I'm building.
So you're around children a lot, you're around teenagers a lot. My question to you is, do they really come into the world fully prepared?
No, they're not coming into the world fully prepared, and to me that's not even good enough. You know, if we have something that's broke, we do fix it, and our world's broken. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. But if it is broke, then you can't have the old dogs just teach the young pups old tricks, because they're going to get the same results. And if we keep thinking we're going to get different results, I think the kids are calling BS right now, and they're saying, you know, you're going to get the same results. This is insanity. And so, you know, the encouraging thing about the kids in Florida right now, they're not just victimized. They're not just having PTSD start to kick in. They're mobilizing. Mm-hmm. I'm so encouraged after, you know, Columbine shootings prompted me to get into the trenches with the teenagers. It's so encouraging to see that they can get themselves up and get off the mat of being crushed and hurt, and victimized, to turn this around and say, hey, it's not good enough for us to just fit in with this real world. Like, that's no measure of sanity to fit in with it as it is right now. So my mission is to get them beyond real world ready. I want to help the kids the most that actually are out there to change this world of ours. So they're not coming out ready or prepared. I want to get them beyond that to the place where they have the agency and they're equipped and empowered to actually make it better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So what do they need to be prepared for the real world? Because I think teenagers today have it harder than maybe, I don't know your age, but when we were teenagers, I feel today there's more pressure on these teenagers. What do they need to be prepared?
Yeah, doing anything under pressure, that's stress. You know, if you do it long enough, it grinds on you and you get burnout. Mm-hmm. I can speak to that from personal experience. You know, when I hit a wall at different times as a counselor, you know, we had 3 suicides at one time in a 2-week span, and I just decided after helping, like, oh, I'm burned out. Mm-hmm. My battery's at 0%. I need to plug in. So I had to do my own processing. So I went and got 6 sessions with the counselor to be able to, to be able to deal with it, because otherwise you get numb. And, getting kids prepared for the real world is just to help them tap into what they really love, not what they're pressured into doing. So many kids are pressured into, doing something that their parents believe is going to be right for them.
Yeah, I am so happy you said
important.
that. That's so important that children are going in and doing what they need to do and we're using their sacred gifts. I'm so happy you brought that one up.
Yeah, and if that kid with all F's is not a right fit for math, science, English, social studies, and foreign language, and isn't on his way to college, maybe he should do the skateboarding that he's maybe number two in the world at, but he doesn't even realize it anymore. Maybe that's his ticket to his own preparation for the real world, is to tap into his passion. This is my belief, is it's like this puzzle piece fit again. And we want people to really be put into their proper place, not just fit in, but find the right personal fit. Even if that means inventing something new. Sometimes there's just not something there yet, and so poof, Snapchat comes up. Or, there's a lot of billion-dollar ideas. I don't mean that. But somebody could say, hey, I'm really, really, really active, so I'm going to work in the summers as a soccer camp coach or trainer, and I'm going to teach kids in soccer camp. And I'm going to take all the things that I've loved from my soccer camps. I'm going to edit out all the things I didn't like, and I'm going to make the best soccer camp ever. Work 2 months out of the year, make, six figures. Maybe I can't make a billion or a million, but make six figures in a couple of months while the kids are out of school, and then you got 10 months off. So there's so many opportunities for kids to realize, oh my goodness, with a phone, I could have my office be in my pocket. Or in the summer times, if I'm super, super active and that's what's my number one value, then I could be a camp coach. But if I really am good with my Yelp page and my YouTube and Instagram, I might have the most attractive magnetic coaching camp in the whole country, and people want to come from all over for it because I edit out all the things that are not fun, and I make an amazing camp. And poof, you got, 2 months for somebody who just doesn't fit for sitting in the chair all day, totally fits for being active. And the preparation for the real world is about at least finding out how to do what you love for a living. And then my favorite ones are kids that are actually wanting to do what I'm doing, like to actually directly serve humanity at a time where it's demanded. Like there's something demanding us to do beyond what we personally feel like doing. We're demanded to do something that's required on that compassionate level right now.
Yeah, absolutely. So I want to touch on the fact that you talked about self-care. You were talking about being burned out. One thing that I definitely know, Donovan, is that coaches can get really burned out because, you go home and you want to go home, spend time with your family, relax, or do whatever you want to do. And the next thing you're hearing, getting notification, a ding on your phone, and you're seeing somebody reach out to you that's stuck or needs help, who's been bullied, who's been harassed. And it happens to me all the time. But how do you unplug? Because that's so important. Self-care is so very important.
Yeah, I guess I was thinking of a phone, and it would be like, well, if I'm at zero and I unplug, I would still be at zero. So just to spin it the other way, how would I plug in? It's again doing some of these things that are going to fuel you. If I eat really well, I've been a vegetarian since 1990, and
Oh, that's
I
impressive.
think exercise is one of those things that I don't make enough time for. But these real basics are just like literally our phone could do a miraculous number of different things. We've taken technology to such amazing heights and levels, but humanity, like we're still messing up the basics. So just like you simply have to plug in your phone or it can't do all those like miraculous amazing things, neither can we. So we do have to just honor, like, hey, somebody could be reaching out for me, but if I'm on empty, I'm no good to them right now. If I'm on empty, I'm not really going to be able to serve at the like extreme, highly powerful, high quality way that I'm able to do as a coach. If I don't get enough sleep, if I don't eat right, if I don't get enough exercise, if I don't like do yoga, if I don't have my own attentiveness and awareness or mindfulness to where I'm at, we're not doing anybody any good. So we're role modeling a lot of times all the wrong kind of things to next generation, and then they look at us and say, wow, you're beleaguered, you're worn out, you're tired, you're fatigued, you're stressed, you're busy, 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 busy. Like that's how are you doing? I'm busy. Or if they just look at how we lead our lives as role models, and we're all role models. Every single
Absolutely.
adult on the planet. You could say, I ain't no role model. Well, you are. you just might not be a good one. So I think
That's a good.
everybody, yeah, our teenagers are not listening to anything that we just say in lecture. They're checking out. They're looking at this stress or this trust litmus test. They're looking at this bond litmus test. And do you really care? You know, do you really listen? Are you able to truly comprehend? And do you do it all for me? You know, so I'm disabled or enabled, or do you help me get empowered? And they look around and they see the mess we've made. And now they're just like, hey, we demand action. Like, what's going on here? You're like not even allowing us to survive on this planet. So they're really up in arms right now. And I'm super encouraged that they want to hold our feet to the fire right now, because mm-hmm. they absolutely, at least, they need to demand their own safety. And we've got to do our own self-care to be able to be these incredibly, solid role models and beneficial people in their lives mm-hmm. and, have our own battery power at 100% or at least way above zero. Hanging around 0 to 9% is just not a good way for us to function. So we've got to take care.
Gosh, I'm glad that you shared that, all that you do. Thank you for your transparency. So I have a question for you. Give me an example of reaching out to somebody who, probably was stuck or lack of confidence, and how far you took them. Just give me an example.
Yeah, you immediately made me think of my daughter. So I just said, okay, you're the daughter of a dad that does all this, support with kids in the world. Like, if you were pushed to just answer for like what's the number one thing I would say about the state of the world right now and these bad things that are happening. And she said, well, I guess the first thing I would do is a kid that's isolated, I would go connect and make sure I go sit with somebody like that at lunch. Like, that would be the number one thing I would say, is that you just can't let people be isolated. And number two, she said, this is too late to do something when they're already, in a they've developed into a kid that's having violent behavior. Mm-hmm. How do we catch that earlier? So when I think about my own kids as a dad, I guess, first of all, why I would start at 0 years old, why I would start at day one, is because I know that the teen challenges are so tough. And I wished that I could wave a magic wand before they got here. But the reality was, it was time to tumble around with them. And there was 0, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6. It was time to start asking them about what they love as soon as they could speak. It was time to review that again and again and again. And then you pour into them as a dad, as a coach, as a counselor. You just pour into them to say, wow, this is amazing. I really love that you're great at art, one of my daughters, or you're great at basketball, or you love basketball. Mm-hmm. Who cares if you're great? You love art. Sit down and do some art. Don't just swipe on your phone. You love basketball. Let's go to the gym. Don't just swipe on your phone. Or my other daughter, you love drama. If you're swiping on the phone, I hope you're looking up something about drama. Use your phone so it's a smartphone, not a dumb phone. So we can use the tools that we have. We can use the tools that we have. Why? That comes from a buddy of mine. Like, is it a smartphone or a dumb phone? It really depends on how we use it, like all of our other inventions. And we could really spin an invention in the right direction for once. We can actually use connectivity in a powerful way. So my own kids, when they're doing stuff with art, or they're in spelling contests, or they're playing basketball, they really keep progressing and progressing and progressing and progressing. So they would probably be some of my best examples, because I started with them from day one. But there was another girl that was wondering about what to do for a living. And I asked her, like, we just had 3 minutes before we had a presentation to the juniors. I said, just kind of in passing, because I knew we only had 2 or 3 minutes, what are you going to do when you grow up? And she said, well, I'm going to be a lawyer. And I was like, what? Because she had just stolen the show in the musical. And I'm thinking, this is not right. I need to prevent her from doing what I did and spend 5 years on college money and, doing the wrong thing. And I said, why are you going to be a lawyer? And she says, well, my parents know that I'm pretty smart, and this will help me be safe and secure. And I'm thinking, I don't know, that's an awfully competitive area to go in my head. And I'm also thinking, time out. She's also shown the musical. So I said, look, you didn't have the lead in the last musical, but you totally stole the show up there. We had like a double decker, you know, set that was built, and she's up there doing some crazy dancing and everybody's cracking up. And she said, well, you know, I don't know, maybe I'll minor in acting. So I flashed on me again, but not in college. I flashed on me all the way at 47, looking to branch out into life coaching. And I said, let me ask you this. Is it easier to go after what you really want to do when you're at midlife and you got three kids and all kinds of responsibilities and you're busy, busy, busy? Or is it easier to take your shot? Now, the thing you really, really love, the thing you're really, really good at, mm-hmm. when you're a teenager, when you're young, you have little to no responsibilities. And this was not like one of the more impulsive kids, but she said, you know what, Mr. Dreyer, I'm going to go home tonight and tell my parents that I'm majoring in drama.
Wow.
And that was just like, it was literally in under 3 minutes that mm-hmm. she had this massive shift that I felt like, wow, I just saved her years.
Yeah.
And then next fall, I told the same thing to mom, and she said, you're right. That's just who she is. And so mom had buy-in. And then later on, I guess they got the buy-in with dad, who was going to be the holdover. Mm-hmm. And then lo and behold, this year, she's a freshman in college, and she got some opportunities that only like upper-class kids at the college get in the drama program, theater program, in her freshman year. So she's on the right path. And that's truly what I love the most is, since I did it so wrong, I'm really actually gifted at helping people not settle, not do it wrong.
And I'm wondering if you went through that just to learn from the experience so you can mentor others.
Yeah, I did, but that's not, you know, people say that, but you have to intentionally take some of these life things that happen and actually make them mm-hmm. meaningful. Because all of us have things that we can make into meaning and we can make into wisdom. And then a kid says, I don't know, when you ask them what they want to do, and then you turn and walk the other way. Or a teenager does something that makes you feel burned out and throw in the towel, and then you throw in the towel. Mm-hmm. You don't just push the pause button and say, I'm going to come back to that. I need to call a timeout. I'm overheating. I'm getting crazy. Let me come back to you. And then, you know, parents don't come back. They don't come back armed with anything different. They don't get skilled in the art of parenting a teenager. They don't get new tools when they call that time out and come back. They just take a break. You know, if you did that in basketball and the guy, you know, the girls all walked over and you said nothing to them, the timeout wouldn't do any good. Mm-hmm. They'd go back into the game and keep repeating the same mistakes. So I see that a lot with parents, is that they don't realize that you can get training, you can get coached. I've worked with parents, I've worked with teens, I've worked with whole families. And these abilities have to be worked like anything else in life. And this is the game of life. And so there's no more important abilities to develop than our wisdom, you know, utilizing our experience in meaningful ways so it actually can be crafted into something that benefits our kids. It doesn't automatically just, you know, we make mistakes and they turn into our calling or a thing that could benefit our true calling unless we make them have meaning.
Perfect. So if I was a parent or there was a parent listening in who would like to find out more about what you do with the coaching, how would they get a hold of you?
Well, they could check me out on Instagram or Facebook for some of the posts I've done there. They can be added to my email list. So there's my website, getreadycoaching.com, where they can be added to my subscriber list. And, you know, they can definitely get on the Facebook page and like it and ask to get notifications there. So when I make short posts or do Facebook Live, they can catch me there.
So they can do this all through your website, Donovan, if they go there?
Yeah, well, you can just go directly to Instagram, and it's Instagram/getreadycoaching. I'm on Twitter at Twitter/getreadycoach, and Get Ready Coaching is the Facebook page as well. And then on the website, I think almost all those links are there. It might be that there's maybe like Google Plus instead of Instagram or something on the website, but on the website, they can actually join my subscriber list, and I've got a free report that I give away there. And they can email me as well, Donovan at getreadycoaching.com.
Well, I want to thank you because I haven't met too many people like you, and I've known many counselors that don't interact like you do. So it sounds like you definitely could get out there and train other people, you know, counselors or coaches and such from all the lessons you've learned. Have you ever thought of that?
Oh, yeah. I spoke at the American School Counselor Association National Conference with presenting a tool that's available on my website called Solving Our Stress.
Mm-hmm.
So I found a way to make mindfulness visual.
Ooh.
So mindfulness is one of those nebulous things like self-esteem and self-confidence.
Mm-hmm.
But I actually found a way for mental health professionals and parents and kids to turn it into, you know, something similar to a traffic light. So despite all of the different emotions that exist, they all come down to three levels. You either need self-help, help from trusted family or friends, or professional help. So this system is designed to help people break it down so you know the exact action to take. Just like at a traffic light, you know, green is go,
mm-hmm.
red is stop. You need to know which type of help to get based off of what level of stress you're at or what level of emotion that you're at. So yeah, I've been developing tools like that. I've got a Facebook page or a Facebook group called the School Counselor Squad. There's 100 school counselors there. And
wow.
I just started one called the Teen Team, but it doesn't have very many people on it yet. But just like it takes a village to raise a child, it takes a team to raise and empower thriving teenagers.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my motto there.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Another Facebook group that people could ask about called the Teen Team, which is really about, you know, everybody is on this teen team, as I said, automatically. You're on it. And we could debate about, oh, I'm not going to, you know, I'm into this side or I'm on that side. It doesn't really matter what side anybody's on. Everybody who looks in that mirror, like Michael Jackson says,
mm-hmm.
And if they're honest, they got room for improvement. We all have room for improvement. So that's the way I get beyond the battles of this side, that side, or the other side. Everybody's on the team. We're either role modeling well or not. And all of us have room for improvement to step up our role modeling game, or really just like getting, you know, rolling up our sleeves and getting in the trenches with teenagers. Now, it wasn't supposed to be trenches inside of a high school, but it turns out that that's kind of what you get. And there's no substitute for getting connected and deeply comprehending what's going on to actually turn yourself into the most powerful role model and supporter and cheerleader that you can for teens.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the last question, because we have a couple more minutes, is we were talking before the interview about mentors. I know I have a mentor. Do you still use your mentor, or are you not working with your mentor anymore? Because you had a great mentor. I don't know if you're still working with him.
Oh yeah, I'm still working with him. I work with Marcus Straub. He was the 2011 International Coach of the Year. And so I know there's different programs that people can learn about coaching. But for me, nothing's more powerful than a direct connection
mm-hmm.
with somebody who's, you know, like a world class. So I like to learn from world class people directly.
Yeah.
So I'm still doing that. Been working with him for over 5 years.
Mm.
And yeah, that's been powerful in helping me turn into the type of coach that is able to give kids and everybody who serves teenagers what they need to feel confident, empowered, and capable.
That's wonderful. I have really enjoyed talking to you. I was looking forward to this interview. If you are somebody listening in and you're having issues with your teenagers or not having issues, because just because the teenager is doing well now doesn't mean that later on that something can't happen, please reach out to Donovan. He's given the contact information. I will also have it on the website. To everyone listening in, thank you. Thank you, Donovan, for being on the show. And everyone have an empowered day. Thank you for listening to the Empowered Whistleblower. As your host, I will continue to bring in the best experts to share their knowledge and empower our listeners. Nobody has to feel like a victim. There are solutions to bullying and discrimination.
Everyone deserves to be treated with respect and dignity. All our future shows will offer practical guidance so that anyone can choose to stand up to bullying and discrimination. You deserve to be happy, and life is all about choices. I always welcome comments and suggestions for new shows. Please comment and share your ideas, and be sure to come back for more inspiration and empowerment. I am Dawn Marie Westmoreland signing off and wishing you much happiness and empowerment in your day.